Stretch it out. Stretch it out. Go ahead and turn your Bibles. That is Matthew 26. Matthew 26. You won't be anywhere else. Now, it's very, very important. I'm going to let you know why it's very important. Should be important every single week, but I at least want you to understand this week is important that your Bible is open. We're going to do things a little differently. I'll explain to you here in a second, but we are going to be going through all 75 verses in Matthew 26, and there's a reason for it. But if you have been here with us, especially for this is month 13, for the 12 months already, this is such a phenomenal emotional chapter that really sets the pace for the end of our time together in Footprints, our 12 to 13 month study in the Gospel of Matthew. That I want your Bibles open, you pop those highlighters, I want you to see the story told in Matthew 26. So go ahead and turn your Bibles to Matthew 26. If you don't have a Bible, we have a Bible for you. It's the black hardbound book around you. As you flip in your Bibles, I hope everyone had a good Thanksgiving. I was telling somebody just a little bit ago that I'm a huge fan of Thanksgiving. I'm a huge fan of Thanksgiving food. The football game is on. My kids are out of school. I'm off work. I'm at home. And it just seems like it's a very nice, relaxing time. My wife is cleaning and cooking. It might not be as relaxing to her, but for me, you know, it's very, very relaxing. I looked at my plate of food. I don't know if you guys like starches, but I looked at my food, which weighed about 10 pounds. And I had dressing and turkey and macaroni and cheese and hash brown casserole and macaroni and all of these things. Just a plate of carbs. And I said, amen, amen. So I was excited for it. I love Thanksgiving food. But I don't just love Thanksgiving food. I mean, honestly, guys, I am a huge fan of the holidays. I like summer. I'm a very goal-oriented guy. I like the New Year's. I love all those types of time during the year, but man, I love November and December. I love Thanksgiving. The older I get, the more in love I fall with Thanksgiving. I'm a huge Christmas fan. This morning, I wore my Christmas vacation socks for you. I've been waiting to break these jokers out. I thought it was weird if I wore them in June, so I waited till December 1st to wear those for you. It's a slower pace in November and December. It's cold weather, and I love cold clothes. I love the relaxing atmosphere of just everybody kind of staying inside. There's not a lot of things to get to. You have a coffee pot going. I love the food. I love, as a father, I love the excitement that I see in my kids. I love shopping for gifts. Every year, even though the internet has completely made Black Friday worthless, I love going out on Black Friday. My wife and I will make it an ordeal. We'll get stuffed in food and we'll go out there and we'll spend 6 hours saving $1.49 on pajamas and we'll do it all night long and we enjoy doing it together. I love shopping for gifts for the kids and everybody. I love the long-standing traditions. Talking to my brother Ben back there. Ben is going to put a ton of lights on his house this year. We all need to drive by and see it, okay? He's going to do a ton of lights. I love lights and I love the traditions. I love the holidays. However, as much as I personally love the holidays is also a time of potential, highlight in your mind, potential distraction. Potential distraction. I often see people on the extremes of both ends. It's kind of a bah humbug or it's way overboard with kind of idol worship. And I often see a lack of balance in this time. And I hope I would like to say that I have that balance. But I do agree that at times during the holidays, it is a great potential for distraction in two major ways before we read scripture together. The first potential distraction is a internal focus versus external needs. I want you to see this as what we read last week in Matthew 25:37. Just listen to the words. Jesus says, "Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you as a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? When did any of this happen?' Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king answered and said to them, surely I say to you as much as you did it for one of those that are the least of my brothers, you did it for me. And we often have this moment, this time where there is this internal focus on us and days off and times off and idols that we worship and gifts that we unwrap and all of this stuff. And at times, as much as I like that stuff, we can miss the focus at all that there is a great population in need. There is a great population in need. In the holidays, and we try to do this at Eastview, the holidays is a wonderful time to give. It's a wonderful time to serve. We have a mission trip to New York coming up, and we're literally getting back 2 days before Christmas. And you know what I say to that? I say amen. Amen. Because I would be here and I would be all in the thick of all of these things that we're doing, but out there serving God and the people who are struggling in need and don't have what I have, it's a great reminder to me of Thanksgiving. And that leads us to number two. The potential distraction is misplaced Thanksgiving. Misplaced gratefulness. As I told you guys, you can ask my wife, I'm a huge fan. Huge fan of Christmas. But it is important that we don't place our praise and our worship on idols more than Jesus Christ. It is important that our kids understand the reason for the season and our kids understand why we celebrate, why we worship, why we smile, why we have these times. It's important that we all understand the importance of this season. Now with that, Our footprint study is going to come to an end in Matthew in December. We have 5 weeks in Matthew. If you look on your bulletin, at the bottom of the bulletin, it shows you the scriptures that we will be in this month. But we will come to a close at the end of December. 5 weeks together. And one thing that I love about how all of this shapes up and how all of this plays out is that Eastview is going to be a great aid to you in this effort to do this. To praise God and put God ahead of all gifts and all time off and family and traditions and all those things that are good, but they are not great. To keep God first during the holidays, our study on Sunday morning is going to aid us in that effort. What we are going to do as a church on Eastview, we are going to celebrate Easter in December. Does that make sense to you? It's going to be a great reminder to our family. So as your pastor, I plead with you, drop an anchor in December here. Drop an anchor here in December. Now what we're going to do today is going to be a little different than what you're probably used to at this church. We have a lot of scripture to go through. Miss Vicky has a lot of scripture to sign. We're going to go through 75 verses in this story in chapter 26. Now, what I want you to see as I read this, 26, 27, and 28 reads much like Matthew 1 through 5. It's very much a narrative story. It's high intensity. It's high action. There's a lot going on. You don't have to be a scholar to understand what's being told here because it's really a story being told for us to hear. Very much like the first 5 chapters of Matthew. What we get in the 20 chapters in between is this phenomenal godly teaching of Jesus Christ. And 26 reads with a much different language. Remember, for the last 5 chapters, we've been in the temple and we've been talking about the end of the world and all of these things. In 26, everything shifts. Everything shifts. So we're going to teach a little today, but what I want from you is I want no distractions in you seeing the story come to life in these 75 verses. We're going to pray for our time together, and then we're going to jump in, and the Lord's Supper we'll partake in as Jesus teaches on it in 26 in the midst of our time. So let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you for today and all of your blessings. Lord, from phenomenal Sunday school to great worship, to a holy word, we do not deserve your church. Lord, there are many things that I am thankful for, but near the top of the list is your bride, and I thank you for that. Lord, I pray that this morning, more than any story or any cleverness or any agenda that any of us have, including myself, that people just feast their eyes on the story of chapter 26. So much happens, so much shifts, so much changes from the 25 chapters that we've already read. Lord, I pray that our minds are expanded with the emotion and the intensity and the love and grace shown in your story in Matthew 26. Lord, remove all distractions. Allow us to grow closer to you in your word. In your precious and holy name, the church says in harmony, amen. Turn your Bibles to 26. I would love, I know y'all make fun of me at times, I would love for you to have that highlighter open, guys. I told my small group tonight, we're just going to be going over everything that stuck out to them. I want you to see this story come to life, okay? Especially if you have been here all year and we have gone through the first 25 chapters together. Now listen to this. He's been in the temple. He's left the temple. He's talked about the end of the world in 26:1. Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished all of these sayings, he looked and he said to the disciples, you know that after 2 days, we're given a time stamp here, 2 days, 48 hours, will be the Passover and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. Then the chief priest said to the elders and the people assembled at the place of the high priest who was called Caiaphas and plotted to take Jesus by trickery and kill him. But they said, not during the feast. Remember at the temple they said the same thing. Not during the feast, lest there should be an uproar among the people. So remember, at the temple they wanted to lay hands on Jesus. They wanted to beat Jesus, but they said, if we do this at this moment, there might be an uproar. People see Jesus like they saw John the Baptist. And if we beat this man now, it might overturn us. It might backfire on us. So don't touch him until then. Verses 6. And when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of a very costly fragrant oil. And she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. And when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, why this waste? For this fragment of oil might have been sold for so much more, and it could have been given to the poor. But this is what Jesus says. But when Jesus was aware of what they said, he said to them, why do you trouble the woman? For she has done good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. For in the pouring of this fragrant oil for my body, she did it for my burial. Assuredly I say to you, whether this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will be told as her memorial to her. Now listen to 14. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, highlight in your Bibles, what are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you? What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you? I don't know about you. I've read this a million times. I don't know about you. I was not reading this going, well, which one is going to do it? Oh, it's Judas. No, I knew it was Judas the whole time. But you spend 13 months in a book and you see this one sentence. What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you? It hits you with a whole nother set of emotions. And they counted to him 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver. So from that time on, Judas sought the opportunity to betray him. What you and I get to see in this moment is we get to see the greed in man's heart. Greed in man's heart. I've always said that everything in life is a trade. Every yes is a no to something else, and every no is a yes to something else. And we see this man who literally walked with Jesus, right? He saw Jesus hand in hand. He's not reading from a book. He saw the waves cease. He knew the miracles of Jesus. And here's this moment where this man goes, hey, for 30 pieces of silver, I'll give them to you. 30 pieces of silver, I'll give them to you. It says in 17. Now on that first day of the feast of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city, and a certain man say to him, the teacher says that my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. And when evening had come, he sat down with the 12, and now as they were eating, he says this, surely I say to you, one of you will betray me. He says, one of you will betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, for each one of them began to say to them himself, Lord, is it I? Because they knew Jesus knew the future, so all of them go, oh my goodness, is it me? Does he know something that I don't know? But stay tuned, listen. He answered and said, he who has dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. And the Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to that man of whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. If you're Judas and you hear that, what are you thinking? Maybe I should have asked for 45 pieces of silver, right? Maybe 30 is not enough for what I have sold this man out for. And listen how he responds. Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, I highlighted this, Rabbi, is it I? Rabbi, is it I? And unlike the other men, Judas is not asking because he wants to know. What he's asking is, Jesus, do you know? Like, do you know it's me? You just said that someone is going to betray you. You're looking at all of us. Do you know that it is I, right? Then Judas, who was betraying him, and answered and said, Rabbi, is it I? And he said to him, you have said it. And they were eating, and Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it, as I call my men up, and gave it to his disciple and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which I shed for many of the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it newly with you in my Father's kingdom. Listen to 30. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Let's bow our heads. Jacob, can you pray for us?
Remind us what you've done for us. Pray that as we take this morning, that we're reminded of what you have done for us, God, and that we would surrender our lives to you. It's in Christ's name. Amen.
In verses 31, then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you in Galilee. All of things that actually happen. Peter, who I have grown to love. I have grown to love this character in Matthew. Peter answered and said to him, even if you all are made to stumble because of you, I will. I will never be made to stumble. You remember, rewind a few chapters back when Jesus says, Peter, who do you say that I am? And he says, you are the Christ. Peter is the first one with his brother to follow Jesus. He dropped his net. He followed Jesus when it was just 3. Peter was the one who walked on water, who saw Jesus walking on the shore. Peter was the one who said, you are the Christ. And Jesus said, Peter, I love you, and you are where I will build my church. This is the man. He says, I will not stumble. And Jesus said to him, Surely I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me not once, not twice, but 3 times. And Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so all the disciples said. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee. And he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. We see the image of Jesus, the man, and Jesus, God. He began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed, and he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to the death. Stay here and watch with me. And they went a little further and they fell on their face and they prayed together saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will," highlight in your Bible, "but as you will." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, What could you not watch with me for just 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. And the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And again a second time he went away and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and found them asleep once again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them and he went away again and he prayed a third time, church, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12 with the great multitudes with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one, seize him." And immediately he went up to Jesus and said, "Greeting, Rabbi." And he kissed them. Listen to 50. If you have been here for 12 months in this story, listen to 50 in the weight of it. But Jesus looks and he says to him, "Friend, why have you come? Friend, why have you come?" Then they came and they laid hands on Jesus and took him. And suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, struck the servant on the high priest and cut off his ear. But Jesus said to him, "Put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot pray to my Father," hear these words, church, "and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels?" Highlight 54, it's super important. "How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen this way?" Jesus did not come for any other reason but this reason. This was a rescue mission from the Christmas story. And he looks at these people and he says, "I know this seems bad. I know this seems dangerous, but this is why I have come, to fulfill the scriptures." And in that hour, Jesus said to the multitudes, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and you did not seize me." But you remember why they didn't. "But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." I like this verse. "Then all the disciples forsook him and fled." This word "forsook" literally means to abandon. At this moment, 26 chapters in, these men had literally seen demons in the pigs run off the cliff, right? These men had literally seen lightning and storms completely cease because of Jesus. These men had seen lepers and people who are dying. They saw that little girl who was actually dead raised back up to life, right? These men had sat over campfires and prayed with this man. They knew that Jesus was the Son of God. And what we see in this moment is the difference between church and reality. We have this moment where they are not scared of demons. They're not scared of job loss. They're not scared of any of those things. They're scared of men. In 26 verses 56, we see it get real for the first time for these men concerning their livelihood. Since the death of John the Baptist, and what does it say? It says the disciples abandoned him in this moment and they fled. Starting back up in 57. "And those who had laid hold of Jesus led him away to Cephas, to the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard." Why? "And he went in to sat with the servants to do what? To see the end. To see the end. Now the chief priests and the elders and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death. They tried to find lies, gossip, but they found none. And even though many false witnesses came forward, they found zero. But if the last two false witnesses came forward and said, this fellow said, Jesus, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said to him, do you answer nothing? What is it that these men testify against you? But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest answered and said to him, I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ. Tell us if you are the Son of God. 64. Jesus said to him, it is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? We got all of our evidence, right? Look now what you have heard, his blasphemy. What do you think? And they answered and said, he is deserving of death. Highlight 67. 67 and 68. This is the moment where confusion, which led to resentment, which led to anger, now led to violence for the first time. 25 chapters in, listen to how 67 and 68 sound now. Then they spat in his face. First time. They spat in his face. And they beat him. And others struck him with the palms of their hands, saying, listen to this word, prophesy to us now, Christ. Who is the one who struck you? You hear that? Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, you are also with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you are saying. I don't know what you're talking about. That's the first time. And when he had gone out of the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, this fellow, this fellow also was with Jesus in Nazareth. And what does Peter say? But again, he denied with an oath, I do not know this man. Number two. And a little later, those who stood by, who came up and said to Peter, surely you are the one of them, and your speech betrays you. And I highlighted 74 as it hurt me. Then he began to curse. And he began to swear. And he said, I do not know this man. And immediately a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus who had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. So he went out and wept bitterly. Look at the first 2 verses of 27 before we pray. When morning came, all the chief priests and all the elders of the people plotted against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they laid him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Let's bow our heads and pray. As I call my men forward, please. God, we thank you for today. Lord, as we read these verses, your word is so much greater than anything I or anyone else could ever say this morning. I read 26, and as every verse continued to build off each other, Lord, I grew more saddened at the heart of men, but not just the heart of men, the heart of myself. Because the truth is, I would have been one of them. I would have fled. I would have denied. I would have run. And Lord, as we see this and we partake in our Lord's Supper, Lord, I pray that all of us as a church, we repent, that we pray for forgiveness, Lord, not of just of what they have done to you, but what we have done to you. That as a church that we fall on our face and we understand there's no difference between Judas and Peter and all of us, Lord, as we have done so many things to hurt you. Lord, I pray that if anyone here does not know you as their Father, their creator, their one who is filled of love, grace, and mercy in your life, Lord, I pray for salvation. I pray that all 75 verses fall with a heavy weight on their shoulders of not just the heaviness of this story, but your love and compassion to continue to walk towards the cross when you didn't have to. That is why we sing, "How great is our God." That is why our hands are raised. That is why we come. And all in your name, we praise you in harmony. The church says, amen.